Hi, this is Allison Gingras, host of A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras, your on-air book club. A Seeking Heart features daily live discussions, weekly giveaways, and author interviews. We don't just review books, we share them, and you're invited to participate by calling in or posting your comments on social media. The best part, no reading necessary. I got you covered. Please visit A Seeking Heart show page on breadboxmedia.com for showtimes and featured books. Welcome to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. Welcome. I hope you enjoyed a wonderful Independence long weekend here at Breadbox Media. We were very blessed to have, well, Allison was anyway, to have a five-day weekend. I spent it with my family, being a crazy woman. Do you ever just have those weekends where you say yes to stuff as it pops up? You know, I got like an invitation in the mail to a baby shower. Yes, I can go to that July. I think it was July 2nd. Then our church announced we're having a baseball game. Now, as you know, I interpret the mass for my daughter. So without even thinking, of course, that's what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to interpret everything being said during the mass. Father Kevin announced that we had tickets available to the Pawsox, the Red Sox farm team, for July 1st, Friday night. And as I'm signing it and I'm saying, get your tickets now, her eyes got as big as saucers. She starts signing baseball, 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 get tickets, we're going. I said, oh, we can do that. So I got tickets for Friday night. I'd already said yes to the baby shower for Saturday. Then we had gotten an invitation months and months in May when the baby was born to a christening, because this has to be the most organized mother I have ever met. She planned her baby's baptism while still pregnant. I love that. I love that, being on top of things. And she said to me on Sunday, it was a good thing I did, because once she came, I was too exhausted to do anything else. So it was one of these, you know, invitation in May for July 3rd. Oh, we can do that. Invitation in, maybe April or May, or for this baby shower, July 2nd, the tickets. I didn't think anything of it until I sat down to look at my calendar for the weekend and went, oh my gosh, those days come in a row. Surprise, surprise, Allison. It's funny how 1, 2, 3 go together. Well, that electronic calendar is definitely one of the downfalls of my life. You know, I used to love my paper calendar, and I do bullet journal. So, which means I have this journal that is, you know, you write things down. There's a great connection between writing and remembering things. Apparently, not for me. It's for the rest of the world, but I don't remember. Anyway, we survived it all. We had a great time. In the middle of all of that, we had a rained out, actually, baseball game. We got to the third inning, and Allison's watching the radar on her phone, and it's very yellow and red coming towards us. And, well, I'm kind of a chicken when it comes to lightning storms, and especially when you're out in an open field. Thought that wasn't a good plan. So then they'd canceled the fireworks, which is the main reason we went. I'm a huge baseball fan. My rest of my family, not so much. So we ended up getting new tickets for another day. So hopefully we'll get to see the fireworks and a good game that day. Just not in the great tickets, that seats that we had. Front row, which, you know what, in the end, you ever sat front row in a baseball game? It's absolutely petrifying. I am not the quickest person, and I don't have the greatest attention span, aka squirrel girl. So the idea that I was in the line of fire of a foul ball really was not entertaining that night. So happy to head to the grandstands, where I'm less likely to be smacked in the head with a baseball. We'll have another night of getting together. So we had that Friday night baseball game, and then Saturday, the shower. And then we went to Kevin's brother's house for a swimming party and some yummy barbecue. It's actually, I don't know if you've ever done this before, but they have this thing, like this turning spigoty thing. that's the real term for it. Yeah, the technical term, this roundy spinny thing. It's like a spigot. I guess that's the word for it. I don't know. Something like that. But anyway, it turns your chicken and it turns your roast and it cooks it perfectly over the gas grill. And it was fantastic. And we hung out with the family that night. And then Sunday we had the christening followed by our annual Christmas party. Oh my goodness. I didn't even make it through the first segment of the show without being me. We had our annual Independence Day party over at a friend's house. Don't we do? It's really fun. If you follow me on Instagram, you know exactly what I'm going to tell you what I do. If you go to Reconciled to You on Instagram, you can follow me on all social media with Reconciled, the D at the end there, T-O-Y-O-U. I'm on Instagram, Pinterest, Facebook, and Facebook, of course, you can go to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras to follow me there. And please share what you see. If you enjoy the show, if you're blessed by it, if you're blessed by what I post on Facebook, Reconciled to You gets a little more posting than A Seeking Heart. But either way, if you follow them, if you see something, especially when we're talking about the show, help me promote the show. Help me let more people know that Breadbox Media is here, that we're offering fabulous shows that just engage in the relational. They teach about the faith in a new and exciting way, or just a different way. I mean, if this is how you've been learning and you've enjoyed A Seeking Heart for the last year and a half, help me to tell others and to spread the word. I'd love to have more people here sharing in the fun that we have every day, right? Let's not keep it to ourselves. Let's get out there and share. Reconciled to You. So if you follow me on Instagram, Reconciled to You, you know exactly what we did on Independence. Well, it was the Eve, Independence Eve, which is probably why I was thinking Christmas Eve. We have what we call Portuguese fireworks. And I'm not making fun of Portuguese people. It's called Portuguese fireworks because Allison is Portuguese 100%. And I made this up with my husband. He has an air cannon. This is something he made out of PVC pipe. My husband is quite the MacGyver. And you take glow sticks. Yep, glow sticks. And you break them and you shake them all up so they're all glowy. You stick them in the air cannon. You do a countdown and you shoot these things into the air. It is beautiful to behold. It is absolutely a blast. And we decided, the girls and I, a few years ago I did this and I hadn't done it in a while, but we decided to lay in the grass right over where Kevin lets light sticks fly. Easy for me to say. And then they fall all around you, which is just stupid. It's so much fun. So some of my friends call it redneck fireworks. We had a ball. We had such a good time. I'm so blessed by such great friends. So we brought in the new year. Oh my goodness. I said that because we always spend New Year together. See, New Year's Eve, Christmas Eve. Oh, I'm trying to give up caffeine. I'm thinking not such a good plan. I may want to wean myself off, right? Not just go cold turkey. It's not working for me today. Then on Independence Day, 4th of July, we just chilled. Tonight, I'm going to see Max and Val from Dancing with the Stars with my aunt. We have been looking forward to this for weeks. I do love Dancing with the Stars, and I like Max and Val. Probably not quite as much as my auntie does. She is beside herself with glee. The bad part for me is that my car is in the shop, and I have to drive her car. You ever have to drive somebody else's car? Yeah, we're going into the city. We're going to be in Boston, and I'm driving somebody else's car. So say a little prayer for me. So today and for the rest of this week, we are going to be looking at a new book. It's not even out yet. It comes out August 5th. We're a month ahead of time. But I saw it on Facebook, and I didn't think it was by accident. Actually, we're supposed to be on vacation this week. I took this week off from the station and I was going to run encores. And then I realized I messed up my daughter's vacation and she's actually back in school until the end of July. So I thought, why take this week off? But I didn't really know what I wanted to talk about. And then I went on Facebook, which I really think I need to stay off of some days. It's just so depressing, isn't it? I feel like my whole news feed is filled with tragedies and prayer requests for this disease or that disease. And of course, I never mind praying. But some days my anxiety just takes a hold of me and it's hard for me to keep reading all of that stuff. Anyway, this was a good thing to find. Colleen Mitchell, who is a missionary with St. Bryce's Mission out in Costa Rica. I've been following our Catholic mom for many, many years. Love her blog. Love her writing. She has a new book that's coming out August 5th from Franciscan Media. I don't need to be such a Franciscan Media junkie lately. I usually try to be very publisher, you know, neutral, spreading the love, as they say. But lately, I seem to be very much just picking, and I pick the book before I really look at the publisher. I just kind of go where the Holy Spirit guides me and where my heart feels led. And then I saw Colleen's book for this week. I just chose it. Did not realize it was Franciscan Media. Obviously, Franciscan Media Servant Books is putting out some good stuff because we have a couple of them that we've done. We have a couple more coming up. But the good thing is that they are very gracious and they're offering a giant giveaway. Allison just needs to post it. I know. I need assistance. I really need an assistant, I think. I keep praying for it. It's been a while. God hasn't provided it yet. But eventually, I do believe he will. So we're going to be looking at this new book, Who Does God Say You Are? Women Transformed by Christ in the Scripture. And I really felt like this book was sent from God, the Holy Spirit, as a total God-sidence moment because, as you know, I have been working on a new project, and this new project absolutely has to do with women, and it has to do with Scripture. I know I'm getting closer to giving away what it is, but I can't yet. Still under development, so we're going to keep it under my hat just a bit, little bit longer, but continue to pray for it, please. But I felt like this was such an answer to like a little affirmation. It's about women. It's about being transformed by Christ in Scripture, which this new project has so much to do with. I love Scripture. It was how I was transformed. It was how the Lord brought me back in such a big and meaningful way. And when I started to read the book, she sent me a Kindle copy of it, an advanced copy, which is always such a fun thing. I started to read and more realized, yes, this is exactly the book we need to be doing this week. I need to be doing this week. You know, it's so funny for a woman who believes so much in God. I struggled to believe so much in God. It's just like they said on St. Mark's Gospel, Lord, I believe, help me with my unbelief. We come back. We're going to dive into Who Does He Say You Are? You're listening to His Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. We'll be right back.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. We are going to be journeying this week with a new book coming out August 5th from Colleen Mitchell Franciscan Books. It's called Who Does He Say You Are? Women Transformed by Christ in the Scriptures. And I said that I've been very kind of Franciscan favoritism. I seem to go through these little bouts where I had a time where I felt like every book I was falling in love with was from Ave Maria Press or Pauline Books and Media. And I think I need to spread the love a little bit, get some Sophia Institute Press, Catholic University Press, Loyola, and Ignatius, I Won't Forget You. I have big piles of all of your books. And the bad part about doing one book a week is I only get to do about 52 or so of them. So I invite Pete Sox and Sarah Reinhardt on because then we get to dive into a few extra books. But know that I do have quite a plethora to choose from. So if you ever need a book recommendation, I've had a few of you send me emails, which I think is fantastic, by the way. Absolutely love hearing from you. And I love being able to share with you my knowledge of books, Catholic books, inspirational books. Always happy to share those with you. You can get a hold of me and Allison at Allison at Breadbox Media. No, I don't even know where I am. Just a seeking heart at breadboxmedia.com. Here we go. That's where I am. I think I'm also at Allison at breadboxmedia.com, but you can always go to Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras on Facebook or reconciledtoyou.com. I think a few of you have found me there, reconciledtoyou.com. There you'll find my blog, the prayer request link e-thing. Today I am blogging about dieting and what I really crave. I kind of took a look back at when I started this whole journey back in July of 2015. I think it might have been even a little earlier than that, but a year later, just how much the Lord has done in my heart and in my life and in my body. But yeah, how it's still a journey and there's still so much more to go. Isn't that true? You know, like I've been struggling with my finances forever, my health and my body and my weight and even getting to know God. And it's a journey. Like none of this is overnight. I think that's why St. Paul always tells us to be persistent. It's like a marathon. He refers it to a marathon over this like quick race. I know that my mind wants everything, instant gratification. I want to decide that I want to be a better follower of Christ. And tomorrow I want to wake up a better follower of Christ. And I will wake up a little better, but I won't ever be perfect. This side of heaven, I'll never be perfect. So we have to keep working at those things that we long for, that we wish to change, and the change we wish to be, we need to work at. It doesn't happen overnight. And that's why it's so wonderful to be on this journey together. And when I saw Colleen's book, Who Does He Say You Are? Women Transformed by Christ in the Scriptures, I knew that this was a book that I needed to spend some time journeying with. Because I know that I go in and out of love with God. And that might sound weird. Like, how can you stop loving God? Isn't that dangerous? And it's not that I don't love him. It's just that I go through these periods where I have to redefine him in my heart. He doesn't go anywhere. I'm the one who struggles to understand who I am to him, who he is to me, seeing him in an unseen world. There's so much, if you look at the parable of the sower, there's so much that comes up and tries to really just snuff out my faith. And it's easy for it to get snuffed. You know, the birds come and eat it like that. We talk about the sower of the seed. The seed gets tossed. You know, I go to retreats or read a good book, or I have a women's conference or anything. Like I have just adoration or inspired through the God's word, through scripture or in the mass. And I feel my heart, you know, that seed kind of spreading. And then maybe like the worries of the world start, like I said, being on Facebook, and all of those worries start to like grow as if they're being, you know, the weeds are starting to grow and crush out my desire to know God and to love him and to serve him in this world and to be with him in the next, as the Baltimore Catechism tells us. It's hard to stay faithful. It is a hard thing. If you're feeling lukewarm, you're not alone, but it's not a good thing. So we have to keep striving. We have to keep, and I guess probably that's another reason I wanted to be here this week, because I feel like there's a real necessity to staying connected every day with God and every week with each other. One of the things that I realized as I was preparing for this, one of her chapters, it includes Mary and Martha, and it's actually the one I wanted to start with today. You Are Made for Contentment is the name of this chapter, and she features Mary and Martha of Bethany. And it reminded me of just about 3 years ago, this time, July 2013, I was preparing to go to World Youth Day in Rio de Janeiro. I just love the way God provides stuff. Like, I did not seek to go to World Youth Day. It's a very kind of a long story. I'll give you the Allison abridged version. But basically, I heard about World Youth Day about a year before it happened. I went to Mass one day at the Holy Cross Family Ministries in southeastern Massachusetts. When I finished Mass, I would always go over to visit with Father Peyton. He's buried at Stonehill College. There's a little cemetery right before you enter, and he and many of the Holy Cross Fathers are buried there, one of the holiest places you could visit. I thought about pilgrimages. I think people go all over the world and to see holy places, and here Father Peyton is right here. So I was over there visiting him, and I started to feel this stirring in my heart that I was supposed to go to World Youth Day. And I thought, that's weird. Why am I thinking about this? So I just prayed a little bit at Father Peyton's grave, and actually, that morning, I had actually gone to add a confession, too. And my confessor, Father Richard Gribble, is also an author, a prolific author. And one of the things he's written is the biography. He would never write an autobiography. The biography of Father Patrick Peyton. And he had given it a copy of it to me that day. So I got the copy of Father Patrick Peyton's book. I'd gone to Mass. I felt this stirring to go to World Youth Day, but I wasn't really sure. I didn't know money. There was no way it was going to happen. And so I went home after all this prayerful time, and I was sitting on the couch, and Father Gribble's book about Father Peyton was right next to me. And I thought, and I prayed out loud, Father in heaven, if you want me and we're at World Youth Day in Rio, you're going to have to send me a real sign that I should pursue this. And on a whim, I reached over and I grabbed Father Gribble's wonderful book, which is, by the way, the size of an encyclopedia. It's enormous. It has to easily have 500 pages to it. I opened it up randomly. Randomly. There's nothing random when you pray and ask the Holy Spirit to guide you. And the very first words I look at in the middle of this book is the words Rio de Janeiro. I thought, that's a crazy coincidence. No, no, no. That's a coincidence. So I closed the book. I said, okay, step number two, you're going to need to pay for me to get there. I said, Lord, if you want me to go, show me how we can make this happen. The very next day, I got an email from Father Sean Carey. Father Sean is one of only 8 deaf priests in all of the world, and he is right here in the Boston Diocese. And he had sent me a message because he knows that I'm a mom of a little deaf girl and that I've been interested at that time learning to sign the Mass, and he was going to help me sign. And he said that he thought one of the best ways he thought I could learn this would be traveling with him in the other, with the Deaf Apostolate of Boston to, are you ready for this? Oh, you know what's coming, right? World Youth Day, Rio de Janeiro. And his in message included that we're going to fundraise and pay for the entire thing. God's so funny. So there was no way that I wasn't going to go to Rio de Janeiro. In the end, my son was actually able to join us as well. So the Lord provided for over $8,000 worth of travel for absolutely nothing. A few letter writings, a few events that we went to, and lots of prayer. And there you have it. So off we went to Rio de Janeiro, World Youth Day 2013. The next one happens in just a few weeks, not even, I think maybe next week in Poland. I will not be there this year. I didn't even ask. Lord, I don't even want to go there. I'm good. I'm so good. Because there's a reason they call it Youth Day, and I'm not. It was hard. Pilgrimage is hard. The first thing they said to us when we were preparing to go to World Youth Day was that pilgrimage is not a vacation. We were not going on a vacation to Rio. We were going on pilgrimage, and it was tough. There was times without food. It rained terribly. You know, here I am thinking I'm going to this tropical location. Yeah, tropical also means rain. It's their winter, which is another reason I went, because there was no way I was going to deal with the heat of Rio outside and standing. Anyway, lots of great things happened. I really need to blog more about that. You can go over to reconciledto.com and click on the search there for Rio de Janeiro or World Youth Day 2013. You can find all the stories. Oh my gosh, so many amazing things happened. But one of the big things that happened was discovering Mary and Martha and hospitality. Last Mass, Cardinal Sean O'Malley is giving the homily. It's based on this gospel reading. We come back from the break. We're going to pick up, I'm going to read you the gospel reading, and we're going to learn more about being transformed by Christ in the scriptures and how Mary and Martha not only taught me hospitality, but now through Colleen Mitchell's book out from Franciscan Media, they're teaching me that I am made for contentment, recognizing that, accepting that, and embracing that from God in all that he has to offer. Oh, such a great book. Who Does He Say You Are? Colleen Mitchell. We'll be right back with more from A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras right here on Breadbox Media. Please stay tuned.
Yeah. You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. Just click on that link. I love that we... I am so sorry. My voice is just not... Ta-da! There it is. My voice is not cooperating today. Sure, it's because it's poor air quality. My husband, he's so funny. My husband sends me a message and he says, "Hey, don't breathe today. There's a warning for bad air quality." Awesome. I won't breathe. Do my best. Dork. We're talking this week about who does he say you are? Women transformed by Christ in the scriptures. New book out from Colleen Mitchell, Franciscan Media. It will be out actually August 5th. You can pre-order it now. I'll have a link up for you over on A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras on Facebook. Please, if you do not yet, please think of following me. I'm just going to beg you, follow me on A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras on Facebook, or Reconcile to You on Facebook as well, because there you can get all the ins and outs of what's happening here on Seeking Heart, plus all the other stuff that I do. My Reconcile to You ministry is very active. I do women's retreats. I blog. Got a huge, incredible, amazing, oh my gosh, this project's so amazing. I can't wait to tell you. It's just incredible. God is opening doors. I'll give you two hints. It has to do with women and it has to do with scripture. And the Lord seems to be opening doors. I can tell he's opening doors. You know why? Because I'm feeling very, very much under like a spiritual attack. I know that sounds so hokey or maybe dark and scary, but it's just that place where you kind of start to feel spiritually dry. And to combat that, I started reading Riding the Dragon, Robert Wicks. We had him on the show before. Incredible man. So I'm going to be featuring that book next week. I don't have an interview with him lined up, even though he's wonderful. It was a kind of a last minute decision. I have Laura Pearl coming on a week from Friday. So this Friday, we have Colleen Mitchell here, author of Who Does He Say You Are? And she's going to talk about her book. And she's going to be talking to us all the way from her mission work in Costa Rica. How cool is that? The week after that, we'll have Laura Pearl on, and she'll be talking about her fiction, her women's fiction, good romance novels and period time pieces. I think you'll love listening to her and getting some new ideas of what to read this summer, your beach reads. And while I usually do feature the book of the person that I'm going to be interviewing, I'm not a huge fiction reader. I do like Laura's book. I thought it was wonderful. But my heart really feels drawn to share with you Riding the Dragon, because I know I can't be the only person that feels right now in this spiritual dryness, or feels kind of a little heaviness in this world as, you know, all these bad things happen. And as we perhaps, you know, deal with different things in our lives, just spending an hour on Facebook can make you feel like this world is too much. You know, like there's just too much to handle and there's so much sadness and what's the point? And that's sometimes I feel that way. Okay, more than I ought to, I feel that way. I feel a lot of anxiety against the future, especially the older I get. Tomorrow is my birthday. I hope you join me on the show tomorrow. If you can even call in, 573-4BREAD-4, 573-4BREAD-4. Maybe you have a birthday wish for me. I usually ignore birthdays, but I've decided this year to embrace it. I'm embracing every moment. That's one of the things Riding the Dragon, Robert Wicks' book, has been teaching me, is to embrace every moment. Like, you can't change them. You can't change that the world continues to change. You can't change that your children grow older and that you grow older and that your body changes and that your metabolism changes. And you can't change any of that. And as Matthew's gospel teaches us, we can't add a moment to our lifespan by worrying, yet I have made an Olympic sport of it. So it's really important that we embrace what we can in this life, because every moment is a precious gift from God. And that's one of the reasons I was really drawn to this chapter that we're going to talk about today, is you are made for contentment. I don't think that I have understood or embraced contentment in my life. I always feel very discontented, which is why I'm always probably why I'm always, it's a proper way of saying that, filled with great anxiety and worry and concern. So you are made for contentment. Martha and Mary of Bethany, who does he say you are, by Colleen Mitchell. Here's the gospel that I was talking about that spoke to my heart when I was in Rio de Janeiro. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him while, oh, that's the wrong one. Sorry, that's the second one. Back to the first one. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks. So she came to him and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself?" How many times do we say that a day? But usually I'm saying, "Lord, do you not care that my husband is taking a nap while I clean the house? Lord, do you not care that my kids are playing video games while I do the dishes and cook dinner and get the dishes, groceries and do the laundry?" Those are usually what I'm complaining about. My sister, she was a littler sister, so I'm sure there was times where I remember cleaning the houses on Saturday. That was my job while she was out playing. But she's considerably younger than I am. So if I'm cleaning the house at 14, she's 7 or 8. She doesn't need to be cleaning. I'm terrible at math. I don't know how old she is. Anyway, she's younger and she definitely didn't need to be cleaning. But this is how we feel sometimes. "Lord, Lord, do you not see that I'm working and struggling and anxious and, you know, all those lovely things while other people are succeeding and peaceful and happy and not cleaning ladies and, you know, those things. This is where I'm at. I don't know. Are you there with me? 573-4BREAD-4, 573-4BREAD-4. You can text or call in and share. Do you ever feel this way? Like, "Lord, Lord, do you not notice I'm exhausted and nobody else seems to be? Lord, do you not notice that I am struggling to believe in you while other people sit contently at your feet and just soak in your word? That people go to adoration and they seem so peaceful and they seem to understand that there's something special happening there while I can barely sit still and keep focused for 10 minutes, 5 minutes. I remember when I first started going to adoration, you know, I'd see people just so, they had the rosaries out and they seemed so content and peaceful. They were reading the scriptures or they were just sitting staring at Jesus while I could barely keep myself focused for 5 minutes of the time that I was there. And I'm thinking, my phone is beeping and, oh, I should check that. And what's happening on Facebook and what's happening at home? And this book is, I can't get into this book at all. And it's just that struggle day after day and moment after moment. And I feel like that spills into every aspect of my life. Come to this gospel and I think, oh, God has a message for me here. So the gospel goes on, Luke 10. "Tell her to help me. Tell them to help me. Tell them to stop napping, to stop playing the video games." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken from her." So the first thing that we learn in this gospel that Cardinal O'Malley pointed out back in 2013 to me is hospitality. And I started to talk about how I felt like we need this accountability, this coming together on a regular basis. It's really important for that. And one of the things at the time, I had been doing Bible study for many years with many different women. And I had, during that summer, kind of late spring, early summer, had done a short Bible study, about 8 weeks, leading up to my pilgrimage. And when it was finished, I was like, you know what? I'm going to retire from this whole having people at my house. Because there's a difference between company clean and family clean. And I'm more of a family clean, not so clean person. Like, my house isn't disgusting, but I think it takes a lot of effort. And I don't have a cleaning lady to keep it company clean. And I just felt really this pressure. And it meant putting, you know, my family out for that night or whatever. So I was going to cancel. I finished the study. I went off to Rio de Janeiro, last mass, heading home the next day. And Cardinal O'Malley starts his homily based on this gospel with, if you want to change the world, if you really want to evangelize, if you really want to make a difference, then learn hospitality. It was like the spiritual 2x4, totally across the top of my head, boom, right on my forehead. So I came home, I sent an email to all those girls who had been in it, including a few extras I wanted to add to the Bible study. And I said, here's the deal. I want you to come every week to my home and study God's word and to come together and share our faith. But you're going to have to get used to company clean. Don't judge me. I promise the bathroom will be clean and you won't stick to your seat. But other than that, I can't say that there won't be some clutter, there won't be some dishes, but I welcome you to my home. And the Bible Babes was born from that. And we've met every single week, just about for the last 3 years. There is something about coming together every week that keeps us close to God, even as we feel distant. When we have that experience with others, we have that moment of closeness, and it really does feed us. It's God's grace. It helps us to continue to grow in our faith, which is a tough thing. It's called perseverance for a reason, right? We need to keep persevering, and we need to do so together. When we come back, we're going to look more at contentment in this book, Who Does He Say You Are? You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. Please stay tuned.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. We are looking today at contentment, and we're looking at a new book called Who Does He Say You Are? Women Transformed by Christ in the Scripture. This is about from Colleen Mitchell, Franciscan Media. It's a lot more to do than just contentment. It's all the different ways that Christ speaks to a woman in the Scriptures and how He really does transforms us. He calls us to Him. He empowers us. He teaches us to pray with boldness. We'll talk about more of those, all of those tomorrow when I go through the table of contents with you. Meant to do that today, but the Holy Spirit had other plans. So let's look at contentment. Because I am a lot like Martha, Colleen writes, I, Allison, not so much. I'm more Mary, which is really funny because when I first learned about the scripture with Mary and Martha, I was in a group of study with a lot of Marthas, and I was pretty much the only Mary. And I used to think I was better than everybody because I was like, hey, I know the better way. But that's so not true. God's trying to teach us balance. He is not telling us that one is better than the other. Imagine if we all just sat down one day and said, you know what? I'm just going to study the scriptures today and spend time in prayer. Oh, what do you mean, baby? You need a new diaper? Just get your own. That doesn't work like that. You know, we have work to do. We have cleaning to do. We have jobs to go to. We have kids to care for. We have lawns to mow. We have all kinds of stuff to do. And God is telling us, yes, you need to do that stuff, but you also have to have the balance. You have to also allow for God in your life. And I'm telling you, when you yoke yourself to Him, like He tells us in the scriptures, your burdens will be lighter. They really will. So Colleen continues, I've always balked at the interpretation of this study the story that made it seem as if there was something intrinsically flawed in Martha's nature, or something superior in her sister's. I've tried before to embrace the mindset that no matter how much my instincts tell me to get to the kitchen and get supper ready, I should force myself to sit down at the Lord's feet all the time, to claim the better portion, to do one thing that is necessary. Colleen continues, but do you know what happens every single time? My brain screams, food! Food is necessary. Someone has to do the work. I end up just like Martha did in the story, agitated and resentful, feeling as if Jesus is playing favorites and I am automatically on the losing end because of the way he chose to make me. And that seems unjust. But the more I look at this story and Jesus' words to Martha here, Colleen Mitchell continues, the more I am sure that Jesus never meant us to live in a world where we have to make a choice to be either Mary or Martha. Where in order to seek holiness, we would have to change the temperament God gave us. I don't think our Jesus requires us to be something we are not in order to meet his approval. How many people needed to hear that right now? Besides me, Jesus was offering Martha, who was stuck in her either or mindset, the option of the both and option. Now, I've never heard of both and in my whole life until just recently when I began being a part of the Breadbox Media. Our station manager, the founder of Breadbox Media, Leo Brown, he has his own show here, The Almost Hour with Leo Brown. At 3:15, because news comes before him. Anyway, he says both and all the time, and I've never heard this before. But the both and option that Jesus is extending to her is an invitation to the one necessary thing, the thing we need to live in intimacy with him, no matter how we are wired. He's extending to her in that moment, just as he extends to us now, an invitation to contentment. To live unhurried and unafraid, knowing that he is present right here in the chaos of our everyday lives. And we can embrace the contentment whether we are natural sitters or natural servers. He is an equal access savior. Do you see why I love this book? Oh my goodness, it's so good. Who does he say you are? Colleen Mitchell, out August 5th. Franciscan Media. The truth is, Colleen continues, that any one of us could choose to sit at Jesus's feet and still be anxious and worried and distracted. And I am. Oh my gosh. Yesterday I was in adoration and trying so hard to stay focused on Christ. I just wanted to do like one of those days where you sit and just stare at Jesus and just let him speak to you, like all the mystics talk about, like when you just let the rest of the world disappear and you can quiet your heart and your mind. And I have no idea what that looks like or feels like. I trust that it's impossible because they do it, but Squirrel Girl's yet to embrace that or be able to get to that moment. Maybe once or twice in my last 10 years of studying God's word. But yeah, not so much. Hey, and did you know that Marvel Comics has a Squirrel Girl? I'm very sad. I'm very sad that this exists. Anyway, I mean, it's really cool that it exists, but I thought I was so original. Not so much. Anyway, back to being content. Not so content. It's hard to be content when you're Squirrel Girl. Trust me on that. The truth is that any one of us could choose to sit at Jesus' feet and still be anxious, worried, distracted, missing out on the grace of the Savior's presence, just as we could also be in the kitchen contently laying supper out on a platter while we tuned into Jesus' presence right there in our midst and drank of all that he had to offer. What he wants, Colleen continues, for us is to be so keenly aware of his divine presence with us that whatever we do takes on the nature of the extraordinary and live in a sense of wild gratitude. At the end of each chapter, like all good Christian books should have, I believe. I'm just a very strong believer in the questions for reflection. Not everybody's good at coming up with their own reflection questions. We have noticed in our own Bible study that we go from page to page and our conversations can become very in-depth, and we can take a sentence and just kind of run with it. But in the end, there are some people who will need these questions, either because they don't, they're not able to on the fly kind of, you know, people are contemplative. Not everybody is able to read and process and, you know, throw something out there. Some people need time to process, and other people need kind of that guide to know how to process, especially if you're very new to reading God's word or reading spiritual reading. Anyway, she has great questions at the end of each chapter, questions for reflection that she includes. And one of them I thought really was what I wanted to talk about. Number four, what is one thing I could do every day as I go about my daily life of service to those around me to remind myself that the Lord is present with me and to still my heart and hear his voice? One of the greatest things the Holy Spirit has ever inspired on my journey is to turn my inside voice. Like, I talk to myself all the time. Maybe you do too. I'm kind of always in constant communication with myself. I like to talk, as you know, and I don't stop just because there's no one around. I turned that inward voice to speaking to heavenly things, heavenly beings. I am either speaking to Jesus, the Holy Spirit, the Blessed Mother, one of the many saints in my posse, my guardian angel. I try to talk to her a lot because she's there to light and guide, rule and guide. She's there specifically for me. She's always with me. I say she, angels, by the way, neither male nor female, but because, you know, she joins me in the shower. I like to think that there's no guide there. It just helps me. Plus, I think that a woman's mind is a very different place than a man's mind. And I like to think that Claire, that's what I call her, my guardian angel, is just always there to light and guide and rule and guard. So instead of having these inward thoughts that can be disruptive, they can be distracting, they can often lead me down an anxiety trail, I instead turn those inward thoughts to prayer, because any conversation with heaven is a prayer. So I talk to my angel. I talk to our Blessed Mother. Sometimes I'm not even able to really make a thought. Like, perhaps I'm just really, in a sense, a place of real anxiety. So I will offer these just prayers, you know, like I wrote prayers. I love memorizing prayer. And a lot of people say, oh, you shouldn't memorize prayer. And, you know, it's such a boring way to pray. But let me tell you, Jesus from the cross was giving you the Psalms when he was talking about the, you know, do not abandon me. That was from Psalm 21 or 22. It was a psalm. He memorized the scriptures, the psalms. Sometimes we need those in our hearts because we don't have the words. So if you memorize a memorare or a scripture verse, you know, one of them that I have completely memorized is Philippians 4:6, have anxiety in nothing, but in everything, with thanksgiving, through prayer and petition, make your requests known to God, and the peace that surpasses all understanding will guide your heart and mind. There are times that we need these. These are great things to include in your memory, to use throughout the day as you're folding laundry, as you're doing dishes, as you're driving in the car, as you're walking the dog, as you're helping whatever it is you're doing, if you're, you know, typing in a database or whatever your job entitles, to have these inward conversations with the heavenly world is an absolute game changer, and it will help you with your contentment. I struggle, but yet every time I turn to God, I am brought back to a place of peace. I may have to turn to him 100,000 times in one day with one single worry, but I'm always brought back to a place of peace because he is so faithful. We're going to continue our journey tomorrow with Who Does He Say You Are? Women Transformed by Christ in the Scriptures, Colleen Mitchell, Franciscan Media. If you haven't already done so, I'm going to invite you over at the end of the show to go to breadboxmedia.com. Check out Friend of the Show. Find out more by clicking on a Seeking Heart show page on breadboxmedia.com. You've been listening to A Seeking Heart with Alice Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.